CMDA Matters is made possible by CMDA members like us. I am Bill Markle, a family physician in McKeesport, Pennsylvania, and have been a CMDA member for 26 years. I even benefited from CMDA as a student back in the early 70s. My wife, Mary, and I run a free clinic here, and we have recently returned from a CMDA trip to Greece and had a wonderful and blessed trip with other CMDA members. We hope you enjoy today's program on CMDA Matters.
Thank you for joining me on CMDA Matters. I'm your host today, Dr. Jeff Barrows, standing in for Dr. Mike Chupp. Mike and I recently had a chance to sit down with CMDA's Director of the Center for Well-Being, Dr. Steve Sartori, to discuss the important and timely topic of burnout. We in healthcare are already at high risk of burnout because, by definition, our profession deals with life and death situations. And these critical situations will often prevent us from stepping away from our work. We have to remind ourselves that even God Himself rested from His work, as He tells us in Hebrews 4:10. Now, with the addition of COVID-19 into our healthcare worlds, the risk of burnout is even further increased, along with the possibility of moral distress, as physicians and healthcare professionals may be faced with situations of caring for patients with limited resources as the pandemic resurges. So let's hear what Dr. Sartori has to say about how the Center for Well-Being can help ward off burnout during these trying times.
Well, today I want to welcome Dr. Steve Sartori to CMDA Matters. And today we have a unique opportunity to have three of us here in the studio at the microphone. I've asked Dr. Jeff Barrows, our Senior Vice President of Bioethics and Public Policy, an OBGYN who practiced for a number of years, to join me in our interaction and communication with Dr. Sartori. Dr. Sartori is the director of our Center for Well-Being at CMDA. He is a physician well-being coach who helps doctors and other healthcare professionals align with God, optimize well-being, and maximize influence. He is a graduate of the great Medical College of Wisconsin. He's been known to occasionally wear a cheese head. He's been CEO of a private practice group, chief of staff at two hospitals, a faculty member for a family medicine residency program, and I think you finished out your career, Dr. Sartori, as the chief medical officer for a faith-based community health center. He has served faithfully on our board. Actually, he was a treasurer and chair of our finance committee for a while, and he's been on many mission trips. Well, this combination today is fun because Dr. Sartori hosts his own CMDA podcast called the Healthy Doctor Podcast. How long have you been doing that podcast?
Yeah, I think we're now at 2 years, approximately, coming up to that. And we've enjoyed a variety of different guests, all have something to contribute, and it's been a pleasure to get to meet these wonderful folks.
Tell us about a transition from being a clinician, physician leader, to being an executive coach.
Yeah, it's a more difficult transition than you might think. You might think it's like falling out of a tree to just move into that from being a teacher and a trainer. But the reality is a skill set is very different. And so for doctors to learn about executive coaching or life and leadership coaching or any dimension of coaching, it takes some real rewiring of your brain. Doctors are trained to fix things. They're trained to advise people. They're trained to tell people what to do. And coaching is not like that at all. So being a listener, curious, a questioner, someone who doesn't know it all, and trust someone else to know as much as you do about their own life, probably more about their own life than you do. In fact, for sure, more about their own life than you do. Trusting the process. So as a coach, we manage a process of conversation that's very intentional, but it's not directional.
And so that might be confusing to some listeners who are not familiar, because I first became familiar. I sat under Pastor Ken Jones when I was in Greece, some of his teaching, and I was flabbergasted that a coach doesn't tell you to do anything, not an executive life and leadership coach. So just briefly talk about how it's different from maybe athletic coaching.
With athletic coaching, you know, someone really is the expert. You know, the coach really is an expert. He can dissect your behavior and tell you what you did wrong and tell you what to do differently and all of that stuff. Not so with a executive coach or a life coach or a leadership coach. They are basically helping you to critique yourself, to examine your deepest values, to examine who you are, to examine what your calling from God is, and to strategize and think clearly about what it is you want. We're driving people into a future that they really want for themselves, trusting that God will guide their steps, of course, and ultimately control the outcome. But our behaviors and our actions do determine some of the outcomes of our lives. And so we help people move into the future that they desire for themselves.
Well, Steve, I'm curious, what drew you into this whole new season of your life?
Yeah, it's a very good question because, like anything, people are drawn to their profession by experiences they've had oftentimes. Why do people go into medicine? Well, if you ask people, there's sometimes an experience that drove them that way. So I was at a particular inflection point in life back in 2013 and 14, and I connected with CMDA, and CMDA connected me with my current colleague, Ken Jones. And so through the process of receiving coaching, I realized the benefit of me examining what did my future look like? What might it look like? What could it look like? And what steps would I need to take to make it look the way I thought I wanted it to look or the way God wanted it to look? So Ken was just very insightful in questioning me and helping me to clarify and help to move ahead. And ultimately, it led to a conversation with Dave Stevens in 2014 that led to the initiation and formalization of the coaching program, although Ken had been coaching doctors for many, many years up until that point.
So how many years now have you been directing the coaching ministry? And then tell us about the evolution to the development of the Center for Well-Being.
I started in 2014, not knowing anything about anything, pretty much. And Dave Stevens being a wonderful person who trusts you, even if you don't know much, but gives you the ball and lets you run with it. He said, you can learn, can't you? And I said, yeah, I think I can learn. So in 2014, I became director of the Life and Leadership Coaching Ministry, not being certified as a coach at that point, not really having taken any courses as a coach, only having been coached. So then the journey began with a rapid ramp up of learning and education. So there's a certain set of qualifications to be credentialed. So you need to take courses, you need to have certain experiential hours. So I really started online training and taking courses.
How long does
courses.
It take, Steve?
Variable. It depends on how much time you have to invest. The educational component can be achieved quite rapidly. That's not a problem. But what is the challenging part is the experiential part that you have to prove, and you have to have 100 hours of paid coaching. Now, when you're a beginner, getting someone to pay you to coach them is not that easy of a thing to accomplish.
Yeah,
many people are happy to be coached for free. But if you ask them to pay you, although there are ways to get around that too, there are barter coaching, there are people in class that agree to coach one another. And so I began to get into some barter coaching where I'd coach another classmate and they'd coach me every week. So we'd begin to rack up some experiential hours. It took me personally about 2 years to go from 2014, and I received my first credential in 2016.
What does a coaching session actually look like? And for you currently, how many clients, coaching clients, do you have?
You know, there's a waxing and a waning of clients. I think our program usually has in any one quarter probably about, 20 to 30 active coaching clients for our team. You know, coaching conversation is a very purposeful and intentional conversation. It's not just two friends getting together and having a cup of coffee and saying, how's your kids doing? You know, the client or the coachee comes to that conversation for a purpose. They're paying you, right? They want to accomplish something. Mm-hmm. They want to achieve something. They want to get their money's worth. And for us as a coach, there's a very definitive process that we follow that's repetitive. It's a proven, tried and proved process of a series of questions we ask. How do we open the conversation? What do we do in the middle of the conversation? How do we conclude the conversation? And how does the person finish that conversation with something that they'll walk away with, that they'll remember, that they've learned, and that they will apply and act upon?
Well, I have kind of a two-part question. I'm sure since you're mainly coaching physicians, it really helps to be a physician. So the first part is, how does that impact your coaching of other physicians? And are there many other physician coaches out there?
You know, you stated that being a physician actually helps you coach physicians, which really is not true, sorry to say. Ken, who is not a physician on our team, a pastor, does just as good a job or better job at coaching physicians. So being an expert in the field of the person you are coaching is not an asset, except I think what happens in that case is it helps to inform your questions. when I'm familiar with the context and the environment and what it's like to be a doctor, mm-hmm. it doesn't really tell me what it's like to be you as a doctor, but it tells me that I can ask certain questions because I have a familiarity with the context in which you work. So I have the capacity to ask questions that maybe a non-physician wouldn't ask because I've lived there and been there. Doesn't mean my experience is the same as yours, but at least it means I can ask informed questions. So if you hang around doctors long enough, even if you're not a doctor, and you learn about the life of a doctor, you can ask very good questions of a physician. So, you know, being an expert in something can be a detriment. If you're an expert at being a doctor, it might make you a worse physician coach because you could bring your own biases to that conversation. Yeah.
I wanted to know, Steve, what are maybe two or three of the most common reasons you get an email or a phone call asking for your help as a coach? What is the physician or dentist, the healthcare professional going through at that point in time that they want your help?
You know, I think that's one of the questions, Mike, that leads to what you were going to probably segue to at some point is how did we go from coaching to having a whole center for well-being?
Right.
Well, so as we began to process the coaching queries that we received over a period of time, we realized that most of them were around well-being, some domain of well-being, a lot of times burnout. You know, people were just tired of work, they were fed up, they were thinking about quitting. What do I do? I only know to be a doctor. How could I be anything else? And I really don't want to be a doctor right now. I'm not feeling like I want to be a doctor right now. So we were dealing with a lot of people with sort of a crisis in their life. Coaching isn't really geared to address crises very well. It's really more formative and developmental and purposeful. But we found ourselves sort of being called into action on some of those. So we do have ways we can work with people who are severely burned out. Not so severely burned out that they're depressed and need a mental health professional. That is a different domain of care. But for us as coaches, we realized that it was around the themes of well-being. So it was around burnout. It was around frustration. It was around leadership. It was around how do I relate to my team. It was around, you know, sometimes family and personal problems, but most frequently around professional dissatisfaction in some way, shape, or form. And that's why we realized that we needed really more resources to bring to bear to the overall picture of physician well-being, which then expanded our outreach from just coaching to doing some training to doing more content delivery and creating a website and all of the different things that then ramped up this whole attention to the bigger picture of physician well-being.
So you have started every Thursday evening something you've called the Connection Room, I believe. Tell us about how physicians and other healthcare professionals have been engaging with you and how that's worked out and what are the issues that folks have faced in the Connection Room.
That's been a fun kind of thing to learn from. We've done that for about 3 months, taking a hiatus right now, but we've learned some things. And we've had 10 or 15 people show up on Thursday evenings for 30 minutes. Purposely, we limited to that because we said, you know what? We don't want to make this go on and on. We want to be very intentional, make sure that busy doctors or busy other healthcare professionals don't get bogged down by having to commit a major amount of time. And it's hard to get much accomplished in 30 minutes in a conversation, especially when you have 10 to 15 people on that Zoom meeting call. But there are several common themes we have learned. One is that people were really seeking for peace.